And as the sun starts to set here in the east, you know, we might not have heard the last bit of Queen on this program. Stay with us later on this hour. We're going to give you a tune or two to think about the next 4 years. And we want yours as well, 877-8-MY-TAKE. But what just happened? What is next for the country? Jeff Yang joins us, writer of the Dow Jones News column for The Wall Street Journal and blogger for WNYC's It's a Free Country. Jeff, great to have you here.
Great to be back.
Ron Christie, Republican political strategist and political contributor to The Takeaway. Ron, great to hear your voice.
Always a pleasure, John.
And Farai Chidea, a distinguished writer in residence at New York University's Journalism Institute and dear friend of The Takeaway. Farai, how you doing?
I am doing great. How are you, John?
You know, I'm great. It seems like we've been talking forever about this day. Yes?
We have.
And in fact, we have. So to all three of you, let's talk first about what it seems to me is the big story looking back at the campaign. And Ron Christie, it seems to me the Barack Obama ground game is a fundamental game changer in the way politics is conducted. Your thoughts?
There's no question about that, John. I think not only in the 2008 election, but certainly this one, the president, led ably by his team, by David Axelrod and David Plouffe and several others, were able to mobilize a coalition of young folks, African-Americans, Latinos, young women, and got them to go to the polls. And while I disagree with the result, and I'm a little disappointed because I wanted Governor Mitt Romney to be the 45th president of the United States, you have to tip your hat where the credit is due. And I think the president's team deserved in the way that they systematically went about organizing and getting folks out to vote and go to the polls. They won.
Farai Chidea, what just happened?
Well, I was in Chicago last night, and I can tell you one thing that happened was a lot of celebrating. I mean, the majority of Americans did vote for President Barack Obama. Some people had predicted that he would win the Electoral College, but not the popular vote. And I think in a case like this, it's very important to make that distinction, that he did win both the Electoral College and the popular vote. You know, not necessarily by a landslide in the popular vote, but by enough to have this be considered a very legitimate, unchallengeable election. And so I think what's going to happen is some horse trading on Capitol Hill. The president knows that the GOP has not been in a mood to compromise. And what we're going to see now is a throwdown over the budget, a throwdown over the brinksmanship that, frankly, the U.S. government is in over its own budget. And I'm really curious to see what will happen. I don't know what will happen.
Well, we're going to talk about that in just a minute because there's been a lot of developments today on precisely that subject. And the theme of cooperation is one that we've heard again and again from our listeners all day long. Jeff Yang, you know, one of my favorite out of sound bites that I heard today was from David Frum, who said to me that the GOP needs to articulate a middle class message. They have failed to do that. And the place to begin is with Asian Americans. That's from David Frum.
That is fascinating and not surprising. I mean, you know, to a certain extent, if you look at this coalition that Obama's built, and Asian Americans have been a significant part of them, you know, Asian Americans right now represent the majority of immigrants coming to this nation. Asian Americans have both, you know, the sort of small business and professional, white collar, college educated. I mean, you know, there are a lot of reasons why this is a group which the Republicans should be doing a better job of outreaching to and are not. But I would actually, you know, kind of point to this larger phenomenon going on here. When we talk a lot about the ground game, we talk about the technology and how important was the logistical aspects of this re-election. We also kind of forget that all the groups that you mentioned, you know, young people, Asian Americans, Latinos, African Americans, women, et cetera, they're not random groups. They're groups who are actually rapidly becoming, if they aren't already, the majority of the voting individuals in the United States.
No, and I think the 2012 tipping point election may exactly be the way that this election is remembered. Farai, you mentioned that from now on, it's how do we get together and deal with some of the crises that face the United States at this point. Barack Obama went back to Washington to deal with his fiscal cliff. Harry Reid in the Senate held a news conference. We just heard from John Boehner, the Speaker of the House of Representatives.
Mr. President, the Republican majority here in the House stands ready to work with you to do what's best for our country. And that's exactly what I told the president earlier today. That is the will of the people, and we will answer to them. And doing what's best means fully considering the impact of the policies that we might set in motion.
was a little bit of a carrot and stick for Aichidea. There was an offer of increased taxes if there was tax reform. What did you make of that?
Well, I think that that is the way that America has to go. I mean, no one is going to get the whole loaf. There's going to be half a loaf or maybe slightly more or slightly less than half a loaf for either party. But if we don't reach a point where the GOP House basically gambled that it had a mandate and to really restructure American government, and it didn't have that mandate. In a certain way, President Barack Obama also thought when he initially was elected that he had a mandate, which he used on health care, and then found that that mandate was over. So now we're back at a point where both sides have to still compromise. There were obviously some Democratic gains in the Senate, but parties have to compromise. And I do think that cleaning up the tax code and restructuring it and realizing that we have to pay down our debts is the smartest way for us to go.
Ron Christie?
I don't disagree with Farai. I think absolutely this is an opportunity. I am hopeful that President Obama will reach out his hand first, as he did last night, to meet with the congressional leadership. Just as the president believes, John, that he had a mandate for being reelected last night, the congressional folks in the House of Representatives believe they had a mandate because the voters sent them to Congress in 2010 and reelected them last night to put the brakes on government. So I think both the Republicans and the Democrats have a lot to gain. And as we heard from our callers just before the segment, that's what the American people are looking for us to do, to bridge our differences and find ways to work together.
Jeff Yang, optimism or pessimism at this point?
Well, I'm optimistic, but I have to say that I kind of disagree with the larger tone that somehow this is a parity election, that, you know, there were equal mandates on either side. I actually think that this was by no means a squeaker. And with a couple other things going his way, this could have been a laugher. I mean, you know, seriously, this is not a close electoral vote election. He got, you know, only 33 fewer electoral votes than – and only lost two states that he won in 2008, a wave election. And furthermore, this was a House and Senate election in which it was very clear the Democrats were back against the wall. 22, you know, races they were defending against – what was it, 10 for the GOP? And yet – the GOP ended up losing seats in both the House and the Senate.
Although they're going to have to work together. And if there is a mandate for working together, they better find it in those numbers. That's for sure. Jeff Yang, writer of the Dow Jones column for The Wall Street Journal and a blogger for WNYC's It's a Free Country. Ron Christie, Republican political strategist and political contributor to The Takeaway. And Farai Chidea, distinguished writer in residence at New York University's Journalism Institute. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you.